Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yeshua Abel, Shayla Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priestess starting very soon. It is now time to start buying your suits for Sabbath services.
My name is daughter of Yeshua Abel Zippor, and I'd like to serve it forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abel now entering the sanctuary. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I would like to go over the Yerushalayim for the phrase, let's get sent out, as we prepare for the upcoming Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the numbers I got were Hebrew 9:29, English 13:14, and Simple 2:119. And the Hebrew 13:14 meant fragrance, also plant or sweet smell. It is the same as word 13:13. That means to be fragrant, a plant or a spice. The Hebrew word 2:19 means a plant as being bright in her light. It is from Hebrew word 2:16, which means illumination or luminary, including daylight or morning star. This also brought to mind Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, where it talks about the teachings falling like showers on us, the new grass like abundant rain on plants, and that the light of Yahweh's laws help us grow to get sin out. Let's all be encouraged as the days get closer. May I bless the rest of our Sabbath, and I'd like to turn the services over to the great peace in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Our first three speakers are going to be women today, and they're going to be teaching you from the scriptures and from the Gematria. The Gematria is a very exciting, and you're in for a great learning experience today. So if you'll all remain standing, I'd like to present to you the first of our speakers.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. As we're getting closer and closer to the feast, we're seeing more of the prophecies start come to pass, or getting ready for the day we've all been waiting for, the great day of Yahweh. And we're getting so close. And it's like every day when we're reminded of it, when we see the news, I can't express in just mere words how exciting it is to be alive right now at this very time period. It's so surreal that we're seeing all these things and that we're breathing at this very moment and we're alive and we're gathered here at Yahweh's house. It's a big, huge, amazing blessing that we have. So I would like to start off with my title. My title is Repent, for the Kingdom of Yahweh is at Hand. Starting with Matithiah chapter 24, verse 14, very familiar scripture that the house of Yahweh knows, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the worlds by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Later on, I'm going to get to the gematria of that particular scripture. So for now, I would like to just say that it's also exciting because we are living in the greatest time of trouble that's ever been and that will ever, ever be. So at this very moment, the nations are already prepared for war. They're prepared for all-out war with bombs that can destroy all human life from the face of the earth. Bombs that can destroy all human life from the face of the earth. There's no exaggeration whenever I say that. And we know this because of our last day's anointed witness, Yezreel Abel Hawkins. But for those tuning in, please feel free to get any of the Nuclear Baby books, lots of other publications from the House of Yahweh. And this is what the Tree of Evil is leading up to. Death on every side, vengeance, war, retaliation. Now, the course of life that was taught from Cain was led by Satan, and the course of war, vengeance, and retaliation was mentioned since Genesis 3, 1 through 5. He taught to be evil as a god. You will surely not die. And that's what all the religions are preaching today. You know, when they go out with their sword in one hand and a shield in another, and they want to try and convert all the people to their Catholicism through war. Yahweh shows in scriptures that sinners will destroy themselves, right? In Isaiah 13, verses 6 and 9, it says, "Wail, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty." Verse 7, "Therefore will all hands be faint, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain like a woman in childbirth. They will gaze stupefied at one another. Their faces will be aflame." If you look at verse 9, it says, "Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, terrible, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will allow the sinners to be destroyed from it." In Malachi, we also see it says, "For behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, and it will leave them neither root nor branch. This is coming upon all the entire world, sinners killing sinners." Right? Okay. In Matithiah chapter 24, verse 22, and it says, "Unless those days were shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So having this picture in mind, these nations are full of bombs. They're big, massive armies, right? And they are gearing to annihilate the majority of the people on the earth. And they think that they're going to be saved, but they're not. Again, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, Yahweh will save his people. In 2 Timothy 2:9, Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from iniquity. So, going back to Matithiah chapter 24, verse 14, the gematria, if you notice 12:19, it means to clip off, to gather grape, to be isolated, an example, inaccessible by height or fortification, grape gatherers, gatherers, and fortify. And it's interesting because Yahweh had already planted this 12:19 and showing that he's gathering his people to his house and he's fortifying it. In the Greek, it means public. In public, common, openly, again, showing that this message is openly being broadcasted to all the world. Thank you. 7314 means to altitude, height, and it leads to another number, which means to promote. And then for the last number, it's 8177. And the very last number is 8175, which it goes to, and it means to storm, to shiver, fear, be horrible, afraid, come like to take away as with a whirlwind. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "When the whirlwind has passed, the wicked will have disappeared, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So, as Yahweh tells the overseer, do not fear, for I am with you. House of Yahweh, Yahweh here is here with you, and you already know this, but those who are far out and abroad, come home to Yahweh's house and be gathered here so you can be protected and keep the laws of Yahweh. And with this, if you would all please stand. I'll now turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Who comes in the name of Yahweh? In Matithiah chapter 23, verse 39, it reads, and this is Yeshua speaking. He says, for I say to you, from this moment you will not see me, and until, there's that word again, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. So what does it mean to come in someone's name? We know it means to come in their authority, as to be an ambassador for that kingdom. And according to the book of Yahweh, that authority has to come from there. The gods wrote no plan for us. The overseer explained that to us. Only Yahweh wrote down the plan of salvation, written, the written word. It's written, Yahweh's plan of salvation for us. Now, gematria, as I remind you, is a code that has always been in the Hebrew language, in the Holy Scriptures. This code that Yahweh put there from the beginning was only found out in this generation, the 1934 generation, the year that the overseer was born, that generation started. Yahweh had put that code there for us in these last days to strengthen us, to reveal even greater secrets. So the first gematria I have is, who comes in the name of Yahweh? And you'll see there's three numbers, 2752, 1686, it's not showing up, and 281. Okay, so let's go to the Hebrew first. The Hebrew for 281 is brother, worshiper of Yahweh. Now, according to the Two Witnesses book on page 191, it's written, when Jacob returned from Israel and began to work in Odessa, he began to proclaim the worship of Elohim. I then told Jacob that something was wrong with this. And we know that Yahweh revealed that to the overseer, that Yahweh was the one that gave that knowledge to the overseer, spoken of in Isaiah 45, verse 5, where it says, he's speaking about Israel, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God, Elohim. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me. The overseer on page 192 of the Two Witnesses continues, after Jacob and I became separated, we no longer depended upon each other so much, and each of us started depending upon Yahweh instead. This was a tremendous, unforeseen blessing, which brought me much closer to Father Yahweh. So we see that that brother is the worshiper of Yahweh, and so was Jacob, and he will be in the kingdom. The next gematria that backs this up, I just wanted to show you this, is a chosen Levite. Now you see that 828. Wherever you see that 828, that 138 will always be there. And that 138 means worshiper of Yahweh. So we see that's connected right to the overseer's birth date. Going on to the next number that came from the gematria from who comes in the name of Yahweh. May I have my clip at this time? Is the word joy. But this next number, 2752, goes to this clip, if you can see that, please. It says, to bore the crevice of a serpent. Now, when I went to the internet, it showed that picture with it. Not that I asked for a picture, but when it I asked for the definition of crevice, it had that there. And don't you think it's interesting that it would show a purple flower that's breaking over, open that crevice, that is exposing the man of sin, that is bearing holds in every false teaching of the Catholic Church? It's none other than the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. So in the Greek, 281 means trustworthy, faithful, established, to be permanent. You can see all these definitions is pointing to one man. In the Greek, it says, for 1686, denoting a fixed position. Now in the Greek, 2752, and this is a really exciting one, it says, it's only written one time in the scriptures, and it's a cry of excitement, a call, a summons. And it goes to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where it says, for Yeshua himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the Malak. And we know that Malak is the overseer. Now, the Greek word for this number 2752 is the word kaluma. And when you add all those numbers together, you get 747. And as we look at this next paper, you'll be reminded that 747 is Israel Abel Hawkins and Buffalo Bill Hawkins. And that means chief leader. He is the chief leader in these last days. In the Hebrew, 271 means possessor. And the Hebrew 68 means to build a house of Yahweh, to establish a stone, the house of Yahweh that's set on a stone to establish it. In the Greek, 271 means amethyst, reddish purple, which is very interesting too, because we're reminded that Russell means red, so it was a reddish purple, to prevent intoxication. Now, not only has the overseer asked us not to drink in these last days so that our minds would be clear, but only the overseer has caused us to understand the teachings of Yahweh so that we do not drink of the wine of the fornication of the Catholic Church, so we do not become drunk with that those false teachings and be confused in our minds. Only the overseer did that for us. And also, 408 means man of success. And the word for that is Nike, but when you add the gematria for Nike, you see that 337 there? Now keep that in mind, because I know you've seen this many times before. But the Greek 68 comes from 71, a field, a farm, a country, cultivated, a piece of land, meaning to lead, to bring along. So I put in there, where today is land, a cultivated field. And you see that 337 matches up with the man of success. Well, also that 2022 is the mountain in Isaiah 2:2, the promotion of the great house of Yahweh, who is led and built, who the man who built, who was commissioned to build the holy house of Yahweh in Zechariah 6 has done. Now going back to Matithiah 23:39, we will not see Yeshua, it says there, until we say, we will not see Yeshua until we say, and that means coming into agreement with the overseer, blessed is Israel Hawkins, who comes in the name of Yahweh. So I'm thinking at this time I'd like everyone to please stand. Could we have this on the screen one more time? Okay, everyone see that? We need to say in unity, 1, 2, 3, blessed is Israel Hawkins who comes in the name of Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified. I turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is The Generation of the Two Witnesses. Now, I was reading the 2019 newsletter, and I saw that Pastor began that by saying in the generation of the two witnesses. So I thought, well, I was inspired to put that through the gematria. And the first one was the Jewish, it came out to Jewish 2998. The English Sumerian was 2316. And the simple English was 386. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with the Hebrew first. In the Hebrew, number 2998 in Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, it means building of Yah. And in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, because it says it comes from 1129. Now, everyone should be very familiar with 1129. We've heard that a lot. We've seen it a lot in the writings of Israel Hawkins. It's bana, and it means to build or establish a family. And like our previous speaker said, who is building and establishing this family right now? Israel Hawkins. So I want to read to you from the second book of Israel, chapter 11, verse 25. The second book of Israel, chapter 11, verse 25, and it says, "Praise Yahweh, he's called you out of this world, and he's establishing his house, so that you will know the deep secrets of the kingdom, and you will know that Yahweh is actually building a family to govern the earth and the whole universe. He's going to turn his power over to you. He has given you a subconscious mind, and you will be given use of it at that time, which you will be able to govern the nations with." He said in Zechariah 14 that you would govern these nations. So that's a job that we're getting ready for now. Pastor Israel Hawkins has been commissioned to build this house in this time period, in these last days, and we can prove that in Zechariah 6, verse 12. Remember in Zechariah 6, verse 12, it says, "Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from his place and build the house of Yahweh." And that's what he's doing, right? Now, Moshe was also building a family in his time period. Remember that? And if you remember, Yethro said to him, and I'm going to read something here for you. Moshe was building a family, and Yethro said to him, "Why are you answering all these phone calls every minute, Moshe? Why are you, don't you have supervisors, leaders, and priests to help you carry this load?" Now, I want to bring to mind a story that our overseer told us. Do you remember when he told us about when they first bought the first four computers in the house of Yahweh? And it was a company called Fox Marketing. And we had to call them all the time because we didn't know how to use these computers. They were just coming out. And if you remember, the man was actually a little bit... He got a little upset with us. He said, "If all of my customers called me as often as you call me, I couldn't sell any more computers." Remember that story? So part of becoming a leader in the house of Yahweh is knowing how to be able to govern ourselves and our particular work areas, because we've learned the law, statutes, and judgments from our great overseer, right? So that we don't have to call him over and over and over and over, and we can continue to make things run smoothly in the house of Yahweh, right? Imagine trying to write newsletters and blogs and prophetic words and get sermons ready and answer phones that ring on average of one call per minute. Now, sometimes when he's on these one call per minutes, other calls are beeping in, and he can't even hear the phone call that he's on for the beeping that goes in his ear while he's on these one calls per minute. So I want you to see the load that Moshe was under here. Moshe was under quite a load, right? What did Yethro say to him? Let's read the sixth book of Israel, chapter 41, verses 82 and 86 through 91. And when Yethro saw Moshe was doing what he was doing for all the people, he said, "What's this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people call you from morning till evening, Moshe?" Now you can see, Pastor says, you can see a little bit of irritation right here in his voice when he was speaking to Moshe, as if he had told him better. But he was still trying to do all the work himself. Did you get that? Still trying to do it all, right? Verse 16. "Whenever they have a dispute or a problem, it's brought to me," is Moshe. "And I decide between the parties. I do make them know the statutes of Yahweh." So see, he'd been training long enough that he knew the statutes and laws. "And I instruct them in these laws." You got that, Pastor says? Verse 17. Moshe's relative by law then said to him, "What you are doing is not the best thing." Pastor adds in his words, "It's not the proper thing to do. It's not the pattern of the kingdom." Listen now. Listen to me, Moshe, and I'll give you sound advice. You must, and I'm speaking to all the Moshes out here in the crowd as I read this. You must be the people's representatives. Bring their disputes to you. Then you bring them to them, and you shall teach them the ordinances and the laws. You show them to follow the way that they must walk in. Moreover, you shall select. How are you going to do this? You're going to teach all the people. Notice, select from the people able men, supervisors, priests, kohanas, judges, such as Reverend Yahweh, people of truth, hating covetousness, and place them as rulers, supervisors over the people, over tens, hundreds, fifties, thousands, millions. The other day, we had an emergency, and I tried and tried and tried to get a hold of the overseer, but I couldn't get through for all the calls that were coming through to his phone. So I decided the next time I speak, I'm going to plea on behalf of this great man, Moshe. The other gematria was number 2316. And it really comes down to meaning the house of Yahweh, where Yahweh's holy people dwell. And we need to be getting trained to be able to take these leadership positions. In Daniel 12:7, you can see that Pastor's getting us ready. Remember the man clothed in linen who's teaching on that future day? When Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people? That's us. We're learning to train to be these leaders, to take the load off of Moshe, Israel, Hawkins. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the house of Yahweh, the leaders who have been chosen, have made themselves ready to take the positions and help our great overseer. The last gematria in this was number 386, and in Strong's Hebrew it means a chieftain, a captain. That reminded me of how we have to be captains and pillars. One of the words here was permanent. And it reminded me of Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I'm going to make a pillar in my house. Pillars will help hold up. We have to help our great overseer. We have to become the chieftains to the great chief, our great overseer. We have to help him carry this load. He wants our phone calls, yes. But we have to learn to space these things out and get our instructions and be able to show him that we can do our jobs. And we know he loves us, but we know that he's training us to be able to do our jobs without calling him hundreds of thousands of times a day, right? Praise Yahweh. And I know we can do this. Remember, if you put all these gematria together, it says Yahweh's building a family through our great overseer. And if we overcome the most holy people, we will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. And we can help our great overseer, and we can remain pillars, helping him serve throughout all eternity. So let's do our best to take that load off of this great man who's doing his best to build the great house of Yahweh. And if you'll all please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn the services over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom. At this time, we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I had a couple of searches that I had done, and I decided to go with the second one, and it was really on my heart strongly yesterday and this morning to do the second one, and of course, the first speaker pretty much set up the codes again. So let's jump right over to page 558, Isaiah 44. Now, pastor's name came up at the beginning of this code, and I really didn't understand why until I was back here thinking about it. And there's a reason why it came up in this particular code, because this is not it's a very kind of a dark code reading about nuclear war. And it's a very serious one, and his name being at the beginning makes sense. So Isaiah 44, page 558, and it says in verse 7, "And who as I, Yahweh, will foretell and set an order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them, the two witnesses, foretell, let Yisrael Hawkins foretell." Now let me be incredibly clear on this. There has never been a man on the face of the earth since the apostles and prophets, and even more so because he has all the understanding of all the things that are written, that has brought out more on nuclear war and the things coming than Yisroel Hawkins. And all of you that are out there listening, Pastor Yisroel Hawkins has brought out and made very clear what's coming and what will absolutely take place. So we need to remember that. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and I'll have a page for you here in a moment. Deuteronomy 28, and that's found on page 170. And in verse 20, it talks about, starting with verse 20, it talks about the plagues that will cling to you until you are destroyed in the land you're entering to possess. And Yahweh will allow these things to come upon you, and the mildew, the sword, the blasting, which we know in the Mark of the Beast is talking about nuclear war. And verse 23 is very important. And the heaven which is over your heads shall be brass, and the earth under shall be iron. Now quickly, let's turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and that's found on page 979. And Revelation 13, and of course in verse 13, and he does great wonders so that it makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And we know that's talking about the second beast, the United States. Yahweh allowed them to develop the technology of the atomic weapons, the nuclear weapons that we have, to fulfill the prophecies of the end days. And then, of course, for your notes, in Isaiah 24, 5 and 6, talks about because the breaking of the laws, statutes, and judgments, these things are going to come, and there'll be a great burning and few men left. So let's go over to the codes. This one is called, now I had another one which was called End of Days. And these never, whenever I start them, I have a specific plan on what I want to bring forth. But Yahweh's plan is always different. I wanted to see what was in there about technology and things like that. And that stuff is never in there. It's always other things that Yahweh has in there. Well, this one's called the Atomic Age. And in the first reading here, can we zoom in just a touch, and I'll just move this around. There you go. Okay. All right. So right here, we have Atomic Age. Now the skip on this was 18,729 characters or letters between each letter of Atomic Age. So it was spread out at a great distance in the scriptures. So we have Atomic Age. Then the first thing that came up after that was Ta-Abil, Buffalo Bill. And the reason for that is it's because, as I said, Yisroel Hawkins has foretold the things of nuclear war and what's coming and what's going to burn the earth. And no one else has ever brought out Deuteronomy 28, Isaiah 24, Matthew 24, the book of Revelation, and the knowledge of nuclear war in more understanding than Yisroel Hawkins has. There's never been a person that's done it. So let's get into it. Of course, we have, this is always, and everything ends up in pockets. Everything's in a pocket where everything's at. So we have, okay, so number four is right here, stretched across here. And this is 1934. Now, 1934, and the reason is because, let's see if I can find it. Five right here is patent. That's, we know the patent for the nuclear bomb, or the atomic weapons, was done in 1934 by Leo Szilard. Okay? Then, of course, six and seven. Here's six and seven is atomic bomb, atom bomb, and then connected to that, let's see if I can find my bearings straight here. Over here, we have, as the first speaker said, annihilation. the nine, we have dead bodies. Dead bodies. Then here we have terrified dread. When the people see these things, the terror that's going to strike them is unimaginable. What the world's going to go through, and we're going to witness these things. In 12 and 13 right here, 1 hour destruction or 1 hour devastation. Move that over a little bit. 1 hour destruction, 1 hour devastation. And this is when it starts getting really interesting. 14 and 15 right here. Let's see if I can do this. 14, 15. Heaven's brass. Heaven's brass. 16 and 17. Earth, iron. And this word iron, which was interesting, was the same word that we have in the Mark of the Beast that Yahweh brought out through the last day's witness, and it's the Hebrew word that means to pierce. To pierce, which is very important to understand, which is what's to take place when there's a nuclear explosion and the ground, the earth, is pierced and bombarded with the explosion. Okay? Then over here, 18 and 19, fire from sky. Fire from sky, which we saw in Revelation 13:13. Fire from sky. I don't know if you need to slide this a little bit, sorry. Fire from sky. Then we have Isaiah 24 completed. Isaiah 24 completed. And the last thing, lesson learned. Brethren, these things are coming. We need to prepare our hearts and minds and know that this annihilation is going to take place. And we need to pay close attention to everything that's brought from Yahweh's house so that we can be saved and be able to be part of this work and continue this work throughout all eternity. So focus on Yahweh. Remember, let go, let Yahweh. He's in full control. And cling to the teachers of the house of Yahweh. Cling to your counselors and trust in Yahweh, and we shall be saved to do this work. If you'll all please stand. With great joy, I have the honor to turn it over to the great priest from Alaska, the great Kahan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Great saints, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, we're going to pick up where I left off last time. If I can have the title slide, that way everybody can write it down. We're going to be doing part six of this series, and it's called The Cycle of Sin Number 2. Of course, I didn't finish off last time I spoke about this cycle, this Nimrod cycle. Can we have the next slide? We were talking about the sign, Treadway Boulevard, and how you get the number 2218, which is when this current Nimrod system began, 2218 BY, or before Yahshua. And we also saw that number 828, just as a quick review, and that's when Pastor Israel Hawkins was born. And this is showing you, he was born on 828, 1934, and this is showing you when this system is going to begin to change, okay? And remember, they have gone, this system has chosen the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain, 1674, they divined for filthy money. 1674 and rebellion, the Nimrod course. I showed you how all that matches what's written in Yada 1:11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for reward, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. You know, the opposing of Yahweh. Can I have my next slide? Now let's wrap our mind around this loop, 322. Now, when you see these numbers today on 322, please don't get them confused with pastor's tag. This has nothing to do with his tag. This has everything to do with the 322 of the evil beastly system. Okay, the 322, you can think of Genesis 322. Okay, you can think of Skull and Bones 322. That's what you can wrap around this 322. It's a different course we're talking about. Luke 3:22 is 1674, but it's also 2973, which means to be foolish, wicked folly, to become fools. And 2973 in the Greek means divining. It means divination, witchcraft, of false prophets. Remember the divining serpent in the seven hills of Rome. Remember, that's what Vatican means. It means divining serpent. So let's go to the next slide. Luke 3:22. Which, by the way, if you notice, it's not a loop. There's only one side of Abilene that's 322. It's the east side. The other parts of this that make up the loop is I-10, 277, and 83. But they call it Loop 322, and there's a reason why, as we're going to continue on this journey of learning. Loop 322, it says the Nimrod course and circuit. That's what loop is. It's a circuit, 322. It's showing the rebellion, the Nimrod course, 1674. Remember, 1674 is talking about this Nimrod course. It's 666 multiplied, as you see the math down there in the corner. Now, this Nimrod course, this rebellion, it's a 6,000-year lesson. 6,000-year lesson, 1674. It takes 6,000 years, 1674. The 6,000-year plan, 1674. So you see the unity there in this plan, this course of Nimrod, and how Yahweh's allowing this to take place, these two trees in this garden. Can I have my next slide? Next slide, please. All right. This is a coin that I showed you, I believe, last year. This coin right here is a coin that Pontifex Gregorius the 13th had minted during his papacy in commemoration of the calendar, the Gregorian calendar that he made. Okay, now, depicted on the back of it, you'll see Aries the ram. Okay, now, you also see a serpent in a loop swallowing its own tail with the ram in the middle. Now, that ram, as I'm going to show you, it represents Amun-Ra, the sun god. Okay? It has nothing to do with an animal, but it has everything to do with Amun-Ra, who they worship. And by the way, you Christians out there that are using that word amen or amen in your prayers, you're worshiping this god. Okay? They've got you fooled into saying these names and using them in your prayers. Now, let's go to the next slide. Aries is a constellation, by the way, as we'll show you. In Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events, Pastor says, Aries, the ram, a zodiacal constellation located somewhat north of the celestial equator. And it shows, it goes on to show, the sun enters the sign of Aries on March 21st, or 321. And as we're going to learn, the Council of Nicaea actually set 321, or the beginning of Aries, as the date for the beginning of the cycle of the year and Easter, as we're going to show you here in a moment. Can I have my next slide? Here's the constellation Aries. Constellation Aries, Easter, you get a 1674. Can I have my next slide? Now, this first Council of Nicaea, this is from Deceptions book, page 264. Or chapter 1, verse 264, the first council of Nicaea in 325 set the date of Easter according to the Alexandrian computation. Now, Alexandrian means Egyptian, you know, Alexandria, Egypt. That's where they got this from. Remember, they never left Egypt. Remember what Yahweh said? They never left Egypt. They worshipped the god of war in the wilderness, Cain, Kayun, the sun god, or the Saturn. Go back and read Acts 7. He says, there are variable feasts which depend upon the changing date of Easter. Ash Wednesday and the Feast of Ascension and Pentecost come earlier or later in the year with a variation of the date of Easter. Now get this, Easter ranges from March 22nd or 322, that's the earliest you can get Easter, 322. Okay? Think Luke 322 to April 25th. It's easy to remember, they say, that Easter is always on the first Sunday following the first full moon after March 21st, the beginning of spring, the beginning of Aries. And by the way, Aries means the ram in Latin. Now, the first ecumenical council of Nicaea is 322 in Gematria. Oh, wow. And 321, date for the vernal equinox. Remember, we don't set the feasts of Yahweh according to any vernal equinox. This is deception, okay? We cite the new moon of the green ears of barley. You know, after we cite the green ears of barley, the first new moon afterwards, we begin the count toward Passover. This is pure deception here. Can I have my next slide? Next slide, please. Okay, March 22nd, it says, by ecclesiastical rules, which fixes the date of the equinox to March 21st or 321, the earliest possible date for Easter is 322. 322, okay? So when you see that loop 322, think of the goddess of Easter, the Easter goddess, okay? Because that's what this is all in commemoration of. Easter's between March 22nd and April 25th, 1674. In Gematria. Can I have my next slide? Look at this again. The Gematria, the first day of Aries is March 21st, 1674. Aries after vernal equinox, 1674. Ram's head and serpent encircling, as you see on that coin, 1674, which represents their cycle of sin. Their cycle or their loop, their circle of sin. Okay? Because it begins on 321 and it begins again on 321. That's why you see this serpent swallowing its tail. Now let's look at this next slide. Next slide. This is from the BBC. It says, the ancient symbol that spanned millennia. As a new exhibition looks at the concept of the loop. And it shows a picture there of this Ouros Boros, they call it, the serpent swallowing its own tail, looking like a loop. It says that the oldest known Ouroboros appeared on a golden shrine in the tomb of Tutankhamun, King Tut in Egypt. And it shows the symbol refers to the mystery of cyclical time, which flows back into itself. So notice, this wasn't something that what's that guy's name? Pope Gregory came up with. This is from Egypt. Okay, this is from Egypt. Remember, everything the Vatican does goes back to Egypt. And it's central to the idea was the flooding of the Nile and the journey of the sun across the sky. Okay, and that's where their cycle, the sun cycle. Remember their sun cycle, their sun worship. Can I have my next slide? It shows you the cycle of rebirth and renewal, 1674. The cycle of birth, death, and resurrection, 1674. Sun is the cyclical time source, 1674. And it means, like the article said, a repetition, a renewal, and a cycle, 1674. So you see how this number is tied in to this Nimrod course, that number 1674. But let's look at this king, King Tut, or Tutankhamun, or Tutankhamun, because the word Amen is in there, Amun-Ra, Amun-Ra, the sun god. So let's look at that next slide. There's a picture of King Tut. Some of you may remember this. It's a very familiar picture. I remember his relics went on tour back in the 70s. They brought him here from Egypt after they dug him up in 1922, and they displayed him here in America at one time. But notice, Tutankhamun, king of Egypt, 1674. Okay? All right, let's go to the next slide. His name, Tutankhamun, was in the beginning, if you look at the underlined portion, the name of the child pharaoh was changed from Tutankhaten or Kahaten to Tutankhamun or Kamin. Like Amen. Okay, it changed. But notice, if you even put both of his names in, you get a 1674. Isn't that amazing? Can I have my next slide? It also shows on Wikipedia he's possibly also, and I'm not even going to try this word. This is a really strange one. I tried pronouncing that. But you can look at the word. It starts with an N and it ends with an A, okay? Okay, and it's, and you put that in, you put that one in gematria and put King of Egypt, and you get a 1674 again. Something about this guy, huh? Can I have my next slide? Now, we always see the front of his mask, his death mask, they called it, but we never look at the back. On the back, you'll see a spell written on the back. That's what they used to write on their death masks because they were going to go to the next world and they needed to fight all these demons and all these things. So they needed to take these spells with them so they could fight off all the bad guys. That's what they taught them. Now, this spell comes from the Book of the Dead is what it's called, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, or it's called the Book of the Dead. And it's just a collection of texts consisting of a number of magic spells intended to assist a dead person's journey through the duat, or underworld, the afterlife, as they believed. Remember, Genesis 3, you know, remember what was in Genesis 3? You will not surely die. You got an immortal soul, you know, you're going to drift off into another place like King Tut, right? No, King Tut's dead, okay? His body's there in his tomb. They found his body along with all of his stuff. He didn't get to take with him. Okay? Now, Book of the Dead 666. Can I have my next slide? He lived in a place. Turn over to Jeremiah 46. This should be familiar. Jeremiah 46 on page 612. Remember, 612 was about the 666. 612, page 612. Jeremiah 46:25, it says, Yahweh of hosts, the Father of Israel, says, Behold, I will allow punishment to be brought on Amun-Ra, the god of Thebes, on Pharaoh, and on Egypt, with her gods and her kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in him. Well, here's the Pharaoh, you know, the King Tut. He's a Pharaoh. He's the king of Egypt. That was just the title they gave to kings of Egypt, Pharaoh. Okay, now, so this Amun-Ra was known. It's right here in your scriptures, okay? This god, this sun god. Now, Thebes, Egypt, if you remember, I brought out, I think it was last year, Thebes, Egypt was actually sacked by the Assyrians in 666 BY. 666 BY. Go look it up yourself on Wikipedia. Now, gods of Thebes, there was a triune or a trinity of gods there, Amen, Mut, and Khons. And if you just type in gods of Thebes, Amun, Mut, and Khons, you'll see you get a 1674 out of their little trinity there. Can I have my next slide? Now, this god Amun or Amen, if you notice, Amun can also be said Amon, Amon, Amen, or Amen. Okay? However you want to say it. And notice, the Egyptian god Amun-Ra there to the left has ram's horns on his head. Okay? Now, he morphed after a while. You know, the Greeks adopted him and called him Zeus Amon. And notice, Zeus Amon also has ram's horns on his head. Okay? Associating him with the god Amun-Ra, or the sun god. If you type in Amun-Ra, a sun god and the chief deity, you get 1674. The god Amun-Ra, 666. Looks like the god Amun-Ra is in there twice. I don't know how that occurred, but it should say the sun god, or it should say the invisible one. Yeah, you got that. The hidden one, the invisible one, is what he's also known as. That's what Amun-Ra means. The hidden one or the invisible one is also 1674. Can I have my next slide? Okay, so it says here, this is from Egyptian civilization, gods and goddesses, Amun-Ra. It says, Amun-Ra is a form of the sun god. It's a manifestation of the sun god, and it has the head of a ram. Okay, the head of a ram. So if you type in ram, manifestation of sun god, you get 1674. If you type in Ram, Aries, a symbol of the sun, you get a 1674. Remember this course of Nimrod, 1674. You notice here you have a picture of sphinxes, which represent Amun-Ra at the temple of Amen, Karnak, in Karnak, Egypt. These are ram-headed sphinxes, okay? They represent the god Amun-Ra that the whole Christian world is worshiping right here in Abilene. Right here in Abilene, or Abilene. I like to call that Abilene, okay? You'll see why as we journey through. Can I have my next slide? Now, Tammuz, originally known as Dumuzi. Imagine that, Dumuzi. Okay, I guess that's how they pronounce it. I'm going to pronounce it that way. It says, the Sumerians called the sun Sabat, meaning the ancient sheep or ram. Remember on that coin you had the ram in the middle? That's the sun. That's the sun god, Amun-Ra. See, these are the secrets that they try to hide from you, and they try to put all these cute little stories in there, but they don't work. Not with Yahweh. It says, the bright star in Aries, Hamal, meaning the lamb. Okay, now the Babylonian priest, Berosus, who lived around 275 BC, or BY, said the world was created when the sun was in the ram. Or in Aries. And now if you notice, Dumuzid, later known by the alternate form Tammuz. Okay? Tammuz, the shepherd god, it says. He was married to Inanna Ishtar, the Easter goddess. Can I have my next slide? And I told you this had to do with this renaming of Loop 322, calling it the Officer Rodney T. or Tammuz, the Rod of Tammuz Holder Memorial Highway. And I showed you that House Bill 23 has number 2147, and it means memorable, to make a memorial, make remembrance. But notice what it also means. It means ram. You see that? Ram. Remember the ram in the middle of the loop? Can I have my next slide? Now, this first Council of Nicaea, where all this took place and they established 321 and Aries as the beginning of Easter, was in 325 AD. Is it any wonder why your area code in Abilene is 325? You're going to find out that you are sitting in a very, this, it's not just an allegory of two trees and a garden. You are sitting in it, and you're going to find out. Notice, area code in Abilene, 325, 1674. Where is the Garden of Yahweh today? 325. Okay, let's look at the next slide. Now, Aries the Ram, March 21st, the tallest building in Abilene. You see that? 321 feet. Well, why is that? Well, because, let's look at the next slide, it's called the Enterprise Building, as you can see on the side. Remember the enterprising religions? The Enterprise, Abilene, Texas, 1674. It's also called Enterprise Tower of Abilene, 1674. Also called the First State Bank Tower, 1674. It's also known as the Bank of America Building of Abilene, 1674. Really? Well, who built this thing? Can I have my next slide? Pastor said in the 13th book of Israel, chapter 21, verse 88, that Kenneth Musgrave died recently. He was a very wealthy man, one of the Herodians. He built the tallest building in Abilene, which had the statue of the Pope sitting in the auditorium. One of the Herodians that's seeking after wealth, and a lord of ACU, Abilene Christian University, one of the lords, the great lords of ACU. Notice, wealthy man and one of the Herodians, 322. Can I have my next slide? Remember the Enterprise. It's on the back of your dollar bill. Annuit coeptus, our enterprise is now a success. Remember this new world order they're building. And it also says Novus Ordo Seclorum, meaning a new order of the ages or a new world order. Notice the New World Order's Enterprise, 322. Can I have my next slide? Now, this is not just, I'm not just playing games here. Yahweh's not just playing games and fudging things around here. Okay, this is for real. You are sitting in the garden. And you're going to find out, you're also going to find out, Abilene is the principal city, read Genesis 10 to get ready for next time I speak. Abilene is the principal city of this Nimrod system. It's one of their principal cities of the Nimrod system, and you're going to be shocked beyond imagination. Let's just say that. If you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and opportunity now. It's been a great privilege and opportunity to speak to all you great saints. And now I'd like to turn it over to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. And let me get my paperwork here. Okay, that's better then. All right. Please turn to page 610 in your Book of Yahweh. Page 610. We're going to read Yeremiah chapter 43, verse 10. And also, if you have a Bible, it's Jeremiah 43, verse 10. There's a lot to cover here because this verse is interesting. And say to them, this is what Yahweh of hosts, the Father of Israel, says. Behold, I will send for my servant, instrument, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, who is that? Anybody know who that is? What nation did he run? Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will bring him, and he will set his throne right over these stones that I have hidden. He will spread his royal pavilion over them. I wonder who's building a tower and naming it after himself or something. I heard that's kind of popular with one guy these days. Anyway, the word father that is written in Jeremiah 43, verse 10, is translated from the Canaanite word Elohi. This word is listed on pages 26 through 28 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which means, which shows this word is plural, and in its originality means invoke God or the gods. The word Nebuchadnezzar that is written in Jeremiah 43, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word Nebuchadnezzar. This word is listed on page 896 of a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this name means self-ruling, head, by the supreme God. The word king that is written in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word malak. This word is listed on pages 361 and 364 of a lexicon, Hebrew and Chaldee and English by Samuel Lee, which shows this word means a messenger. The word set that is written in Jeremiah 43, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word shamat. This word is listed on pages 1404 and 1408 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means desolation, an object of heathen worship, an object of horror. The word throne that is written in Jeremiah 43:10 is translated from the Hebrew word kasau. This word is listed on page 677 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means kingdom. The word stones that is written in Jeremiah 43:10 is translated from the Hebrew word abanim. This word is listed on page 15 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means stones of dumbness. You hear somebody talk like you got rocks in your head, that's where this came from. The word hidden that is written in Jeremiah 43, verse 10, is translated from the Hebrew word tamanati. This word is listed on page 522 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means enclose their face in darkness, to hide, to withdraw from the light of the world. And I remember a writing by Constantine. Let us have nothing to do with that hostile rabble of the Jews. He was talking about us. He didn't know it or not, but he was. They consider us very unfriendly. Very unfriendly. And we're only trying to do what Yahweh tells us to do. The total opposite of what they think. The word spread that is written in Jeremiah 43:10 is translated from the Hebrew word natah. This word is listed on page 925 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to devise evil, to lead or turn away from the right path, to push away from right judgment. And that's why in Matthias 6 verse 9, it says to ask Yahweh to help you avoid being tempted. The words royal and pavilion that are written in Jeremiah 43:10 are translated from the Hebrew word shafar, written in the forms shafaru or shafaroru in this verse. This word is listed on page 1433 and 1434 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means pleasant, agreeable, bright words. Or in more common language, they want to say what someone wants to hear. What do we want to hear? Exactly, which is what? The word of Yahweh, which includes the law, of course. The words over them that are written in Jeremiah 43:10 are translated from the Hebrew word oliham. This word is listed on page 599 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means most high, to exalt, above another, ascent. So, with that in tow, with that, this is what you're being told by Jeremiah 43, verse 10. And it's very blunt. And say to them, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold, the God that Israel now worships. Now, we're not talking about you. We're talking about that nation. All that trouble with Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and the other kings that became eventually leading into what became the Catholic Church and the Christian religion. This is what Yahweh says. Behold, the God that Israel now worships, calling itself the Supreme God. Or how many of you... formerly, when you were in a church, heard somebody say, we don't worship gods, we worship the one true God. Remember that? And it will exalt itself and seek to ascend above the others. Now, who tried to do that one? Hillel. Lucifer. It will send its ruler, called the self-ruling head of the supreme God, and the messenger sent to establish the foolishness, mystery Babylon, the abomination of desolation, a kingdom whose men seek to devise evil, to enclose their faces in darkness, with bright words that are pleasant and agreeable. Oh yeah, eat of that tree, it won't hurt you. It'll help you live forever. Flying around in a cloud, I guess. So you heard the words, he's got his head in the clouds. Now you know where they got it from. With bright words that are pleasant and agreeable. No, you won't die. They will lead men to turn away from the light of the world. From whom is the light of the world? There's more than one. There you go. I heard it. Somebody were back there. That's it. The house of Yahweh. Yahshua said, you are the light of the world. To turn away from walking in the light, in the right path. How do they fail? They don't keep the law. To turn away from walking in the right path by keeping the law. So that's what it's saying. The interesting thing is the Apostle Joel knew this, because this is what he had to say. Turn to page 907. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, starting with verse 13. Remember, they tell you to go away from all these things. It sounds so wonderful. It sounds so great. Eat of that tree and you'll live forever. It sounds perfectly logical. Or does it? The Apostle Joel said it doesn't make sense at all. But we're going to hear what he says. Lead away from the light of the world, the house of Yahweh, you and every person who came before you until one of the Holocaust got them, or at least ran them off, to turn away from walking in the right path by keeping the law. Now, here's what the Apostle Joel says about people that Jeremiah talked about here. When he said Nebuchadnezzar, he meant Babylon. And it sounds, some of the ideas from Babylon sound so great that just about every person who claimed they ever reverenced Yahweh that isn't of the house of Yahweh fell for and still do. But this is what the Apostle Joel said about this. Those that would turn people from walking in the right path by keeping the law. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. Oh yes, many of them will say, I reverence Yahweh and Yahshua Messiah. And then they tell you to do every sin in the book, if there is such a book. And then transform, in other words, they make themselves look like they are true servants of Yahweh. Revelation says, you say you reverence Yahweh, but you don't. Read Revelations 1, 2, and 3 when you have time. It really gets telling it about the different type of people that are not going to be right with Yahweh. But it says, they claim they reverence Yahweh, but they don't. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. And no marvel, for Satan herself is transformed into an angel of light. I mean no disrespect to our sisters, but I'd be kind of careful if somebody calls you angel. Very careful. And I'm not making fun of you at all. It says we have to be on our guard, and that's what it's all about. Therefore, it is no great thing if her ministers also are transformed. In other words, they become to look like they're the true ministers of righteousness. They want to go do good. Whose end will be according to their works. Or as it says in Revelation, everyone will be judged justly by Yahweh according to their works. Which is why I pray three times a day that you want to do Yahweh's will. Just as it says in Matthew 6 verse 9. May your kingdom come and may it be whose will be done?
Yahweh.
Pray that Yahweh guides you in that way.
Praise Yahweh.
Therefore, remember this and be on your guard. Don't talk foolishness. Don't go, if you hear somebody saying something, try to find out what's going on and try to get this straightened out. Go to your counselors. Go to the priests. That's what they are there for. Sisters, go to the Kohanis. Go to the judges. Not to accuse, but to try to find out if there's a mistake or a misunderstanding and get things straightened out. Using Yahweh's word as your guide. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
You got it. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Starting off showing the second beast, remember it operates under the authority of the first beast spoken of in Revelation 13. And you see, as pastors brought many years research, Yisrael says for this information, and also read the book of the nuclear baby, because a lot of this information is brought out in these books. If you're not familiar, if you're new, if you're just watching online, all of these things readily available online to get yourself up to date with what's being brought in these last days. But the authority being shown as the United States this week went above and beyond some more expectations that has been set for them, I guess, by sanctioning the International Court. The International Court saying the United States, some people in the United States will be charged with war crimes. So the United States sanctioned them, telling them that they cannot do such a thing, and even revoking some of their visas. So showing that even the international court has no authority when it comes to this beast in making decisions. And then the United States taunting China once again, selling more ships through the South China Sea. And you can see this aggravation of we are the ones in charge. You can tell us whatever borders you have, but we're in charge. You operate underneath us. And the United States even trying to show them your economy operates off our economy. Without us, you have nothing. Without us, you are nothing. And that's exactly what they're trying to get across to China, that they are the superior superpower. And also moving along, Trump recognizing the Golan Heights. Now, this is a land over in the Middle East that has originally been recognized as belonging to Syria. But Trump recognizing the Golan Heights as being the territory of Israel. Now, of course, that brought out Russia and Turkey to come out and speak against it, saying that they do not recognize it that way. And they actually stood on behalf, Russia standing with Syria, as it usually does, but also Turkey. Turkey standing with Syria. Now, they're saying that this could lead to a greater escalation. And when listening to this, remember Damascus. Don't forget Damascus. It's going to face destruction, as Isaiah says. But also, right along with that, Sergei Lavrov, who is the foreign minister, he would be equal to the Secretary of State here in the United States. His job is to be a diplomat for Vladimir Putin. He is a spokesman for Vladimir Putin, and he says that a limited nuclear war could break out at any time now. A limited nuclear war could break out at any time. Then I want to show you what RT reported. You can see the headline here. It says, U.S. says it won't rule out nuclear first strike because allies wouldn't trust it otherwise. Now, if you know, that's a change. Everybody had been saying, we'll use nukes, but we won't use them first. Russia says that. China says that. Pakistan and India promised that. But, of course, they're always taunting each other. But here the United States has finally come out and said, we'll do it first. We sure will. And then you have Russia saying, it's on its way. It could break out at any time. Now, with all this taking place, you see Brazil, and we have an article showing Brazil in the news where the United States has a courtship, so to speak, an economic courtship with Brazil. Why is Brazil so important? Do not forget the BRICS banking system. President Trump recognizing Brazil as an honorary member of NATO. Remember, NATO is supposed to keep Russia in check. Well, that BRICS banking system was put together by Russia and China and India and South Africa along with Brazil. That was to bring economic ties to get outside of U.S. sanctions. Well, the United States is courting them to win them over. And then back to Venezuela. You'll see how much authority this beast has by Citibank actually taking Venezuelan gold that was supposed to be used as a deposit or a lien deposit, so to speak, and selling the gold, keeping the money to repay the loan to themselves, and then the money that was left over, because the gold increased in value, they deposited that money into a United States banking account, not even giving Venezuela their money back. So you see this sanctioning, and keep in mind, the United States has done a great job of sanctions. They have shut down Venezuela imports to zero. In doing so, guess who stepped up to buy oil? Of course, you have China and India. China and India are now buying oil, and they're not using a petrodollar. They're using the petro yuan, and they're getting this oil to come in. So Venezuela still has flow, and also they have 100 Russian soldiers that are also in Venezuela at this time working with Maduro. Now, President Trump this last week said that Russia needs to get out of Venezuela, but once again, you're speaking to Russia and you're speaking to China is not like speaking to Afghanistan and Iraq. They're not going to listen to your comments. And they're, as Russia said, we don't care about U.S. sanctions. We could hardly care less about them. And then moving into, of course, what we see taking place in the Middle East and the Temple Mount, a lot of stuff in the news. A couple that we show, and it's very important to catch these things. One man is being interviewed on Al Jazeera, and he's talking about this peace plan. And he makes a great comment when he says, you know, this has been going strong this whole time, but it hasn't been out for everybody to see. And he says it's trickle, 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 a little bit here, a little bit there. It's coming along, but it's going full force, but it's just not in the public eye. And then U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, once again, was in the Middle East on 322. 322, he showed a video of the plans and the kind of envisioning that Trump has for the Middle East. And, of course, when they showed the Temple Mount, they have the temple, the third temple setting on the Temple Mount. Keep in mind, David Greenblatt, who is that's the ambassador to Israel. It was 8 months ago when they took a picture and someone stuck that picture up in front of him with the third temple, and he denied that he had anything to do with it. But now they have the very same picture in the video. And of course, where do they get the information for this Temple Mount from? It only comes from the house of Yahweh and the one sent by Yahweh. So pay close attention, because we have Damascus looking to be destroyed. We have sanctions going on, the battle over the oil, hurt not the oil in the wine. And then we have this threat of nuclear war still going on in and about the great river Euphrates. So pay close attention, because everything Pastor has brought, we're seeing it all at one time in these last days. If we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Cotton Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! Praise Yahweh, everyone. We got a full house, I see, and a lot of racket. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I've got a lot to cover. The news is looking really, really great right now. Yes. It wasn't mentioned, but on the news, but it will be next week or the week after. But the B-21 bomber, that's the stealth bomber. Now, this is supposed to be the greatest. The B-21 Raider, they call it. By the way, this is found in Gematria, too, big time, along with Loop 322 in Abilene. Anyway, the B-21 Raider is an American heavy bomber under development as part of the long-range strike bomber program, LRS-B. It is to be a very long-range stealth strategic bomber for the United States Air Force, capable of delivering conventional and thermonuclear. And it's coming to Abilene, Dyess and Abilene. That won't protect you. At the same time, they're telling the people that these planes and bombs are going to protect them. The churches are telling them, well, you'll be raptured up out of it. And it just, none of it makes any sense. It looks like, I know they don't realize what they're doing, but the stronger the bombs and planes gets here, the stronger they'll get in the enemy territory. And, of course, this is a plan by Satan from the beginning. If you'll go back to Genesis and start reading what took place, Yahweh told the people what would bring them peace and eternal life. He told the man and woman, and of course Satan comes right behind him and says, no, don't follow Yahweh, follow the gods. That's 3 verse 5. Be evil like the gods. Well, of course, that's what the religions are today. They're evil. And they're building bombs to murder other people. And they think this will save them. This next war, there will be no salvation for those who are waging war. That's what your scripture shows. Everything the scripture shows is here, including this B-21 bomber that you think is going to protect you. There is no protection in this next war, except that it's offered by the Creator Yahweh. There's none from Satan. Satan has formed the God Kingdom, the house of the gods, in order to destroy mankind. That's her plan from the beginning. And Yahweh says she will do it. She will do it, but he will protect his house. And as the death passed over the 12 tribes, he showed you this. This is your only protection. As the death passed over the 12 tribes, it's going to pass over his people, the remnant that he's going to choose, those who will keep his laws. That's the only protected place promise in the whole in the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. That's our fourth base selected as home of new B-21 bomber, mission and training. Know the signs. Super gonorrhea. This gets in your brain. And of course, they know that it's in your brain now. They know that it's in the brain of the ones who are building B-21 bombers. You know, they got money in their mind too, and money they'll sell these to their so-called allies, and then their allies will turn against them and use them on them. this next war is just, it's going to cover the earth. If you'll read Isaiah 24:1-6, it's going to cover the whole earth. There'll be a few people left. That few is shown to you in Malachi, the fourth chapter, the second verse. The second verse, those who reverence the name Yahweh. And of course, your translators, I'm going to try to straighten that out today and show you that you can actually prove these words that Yeshua used by looking them up in Hebrew. Dazzling new light. Maps, dazzling new light, dazzling new night map reveals 300,000 new galaxies. You should be able to see from that article right there that these cities are going up everywhere in heaven. If they weren't governed, they are like the earth. Their leadership, the sons of Yahweh, the original sons of Yahweh, as seen in the book of Eob, if they weren't governed, they would be like what they did to the earth with their war games, in fleshly beings called dinosaurs. Well, now the same group that learned from this governing group, that were taught by this governing group, they also run the Nimrod system, a lot of which was brought out today in Gematria. There's a whole bunch more that hasn't been brought out. But the Nimrod system, you saw the numbers it carried. We didn't make these up. They come out in number and scripture. You can get the book and read it. It's not our book. It was printed by someone else, but it just shows the number in Scripture that gives you the number and shows you the meaning of different words and phrases. That number in Scripture is necessary in showing prophecies. Where they come from, how they're numbered, that 666 that I brought out in 1976, showing it's the Catholic Church. You need that book. It's free for the reading. I mean, we got it online. You can read it online, or you can get you a hardcover if you want it. But the Mark of the Beast, it shows these prophecies. I'm talking to the preachers out there that I'm in hopes we'll repent and convert. I saw one of you preaching last first day morning. Your Sunday is named after the sun god Baal. That word Baal means Lord. The word Lord means dead rabbi. Why don't you look up some of these things? Get you a Cruden's Concordance. Repent and start converting. You used the word repent last week, and you avoided the word convert. What are you repenting of? Why don't you tell your people they need to repent of sin? That's what your Bible says. Then you need to convert to keeping Yahweh's laws of righteousness. You should seek it first, like the Savior said in Matthew 6:33. The date here, we have 21 days left till the great Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. But that Passover, it represents, you may be turning over to Matthew 23, Passover, it represents you're going to be passed over today in this generation, the deaths that are prophesied for the world, the earth burning in 1 hour. And yes, I bring it out daily that this 1 hour burning it's never been possible before in any other generation, but it is now. It's possible. We have the bombs that can actually burn the earth, and scientists says it'll only take 1 hour to do so. Just 1 hour. Well, that's prophesied in Revelations 18. It wasn't prophesied for our forefathers. It's prophesied for us. They didn't even have the book of Yahweh. And it is called the book of Yahweh. I can prove it. That's from book 2 and book 1. And intend to start on that today. But bombs and the planes to carry them that you're building up is part of that plan of the gods, the God kingdom. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of Yahweh that Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of priests that Yahweh is forming. The kingdom of priests, he says, that will keep my laws and rule as I rule. Well, it's going to be finished in this generation. The kingdom of the gods, they're hoping, Satan is hoping that the kingdom of the gods can destroy the heavens and the earth. The earth along with the heavens that govern the earth. And Yahshua said, if she can do that, that's the only thing that's going to stop righteousness from taking over. But he says she can't do it. And Yahweh says she can't do it. In fact, she's on the road to death herself. That's Satan. Satan the devil. Unveiling Satan is a very fascinating book that gives you answers that I don't know of any other time period on earth that ever knew this except us. The book of Revelations, it was never seen. That book of Revelations, it was never seen by the public. The book 2 that King James calls the New Testament was never seen. It was confiscated by the Catholic Church, held in prison along with book 1, the book of Yahweh. Together, they make up the full book of Yahweh in this generation. It was written for this generation. In the last days, I will establish my house. Hey, did you hear that out there, preachers? In the last days is the last generation, Yahshua said, Matthew 24 in the King James Version, when we'll have nuclear bombs that can darken the sun. That's the last days. In the last days, I will establish my house. Yahweh, I will establish my house. That means it wasn't here. No, your Billy Graham soul crusades didn't amount to a hill of beans. It's like lighting a candle and blowing it out. It meant nothing. It's just the work of the dead lords, the dead rabbis. In Matthew 23, if you look at verse 35, he says, so that upon you, he's speaking of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. If you'd look at these and keep that in mind, and you look at Acts 7, it will show you that these Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians was the 12 tribes that Micah spoke of, Micah 3:1 and 2, and that's Micaiah in the King James Version, 3:1 and 2. They're the heads of Israel. They hate righteousness, and they love evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. Evil like the gods. No, there's no righteous God spoken of in the whole universe. And these cities right here that is being formed in heaven right now, yes, heaven is growing. These cities, if they didn't have some kind of governorship over them, imagine what would take place with Earth and all their cities too. These are all in orbit, and they have to stay that way without bumping into one another. Yahweh sees to it that it is. His kingdom is established right now, His power, His glory. He's forming a kingdom that can go into the heavens and help them bring peace instead of war to these cities they're forming. That's the plan of Yahweh from the beginning. Here in Matthew 23:35, so that upon you, he's speaking of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, the heads of Jacob, Micah 3:1-2, who hate righteousness and love evil, who go back to Samuel, 1 Samuel 8:4-6, these are the tribes of Jacob brought out of Egypt. They turn back to the God worship of Egypt. They turn back to it. They, by violence, took over the whole 12 tribes of Israel from the time of Samuel to the time of Yahshua. They were killing people for using the name Yahweh. And in Acts 7, they were killing people to use the name Yahshua. You couldn't speak those names. You couldn't teach in those names. That's the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. In the United States in this generation, a man named Weaver was using the name. The FBI shot his wife and his baby. Now, this was the way they had in getting rid of people who used the name Yahweh. They're still in power. They're still in power. They started with Cain, who killed righteous Abel. And then they started wiping out after they took over in Kings, the 8th chapter, Days of Samuel. They slowly worked their way up to Yahshua, took over the temple of Solomon after he died, and turned it into a house of gods, house of God worship. Turned the whole nation of Israel into God worship, except those who got word from Abilene and spread throughout Israel, who bucked the system. When they destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed over 3 million people who kept the Sabbath and the feast days, like they did with the Weaver Foundation, or whatever he called it, or the Branch Davidians, who used the name Yahweh. Why did they burn those people to death? They used the name Yahweh. That's what Satan wants to do to get rid of you today. You're using the name Yahweh, and she hates you, and now she knows you are the house of Yahweh. Now, here's where we are in history today. Satan has all the power, right? She could just send a bomb and bomb us. No. Yahweh, he shows in the book of Eob, if you'll read it. They can only go as far as he allows them to go. If you read Yochanan 1, the first chapter, you'll find out that nothing can be done without Yahweh's permission concerning mankind, concerning his house. The rest of the world is open. I told you before that man ever burned to death, the Branch Davidians, I said, I feel sorry for the people who are not of Yahweh's protection, the house of Yahweh, because Satan can do whatever she wants to with them. Shortly after that, they were burnt to death. Just a few days before that, Weaver's wife and baby were shot and killed. He escaped to the sheriff's department who gave him protection and brought him to trial at the same time and paid him off. He can't never talk about what took place anymore. Well, that's all in my lifetime, trying to get rid of the house of Yahweh. Brethren, they kill millions of people in Germany who kept the Sabbath. You preachers out there, wake up to what's going on. Your organization, the 666, and the Nimrod organization are the same thing. You're all 666. You're of Satan, the devil. And what you're doing right now is building a war to try to get rid of human beings. Satan and her God kingdom doesn't want human beings passing this test that Yahweh gives them to pass, becoming rulers over the universe, guides, teachers of the universe. If they wasn't as blind, if the gods and Satan wasn't as blind as the world, the Christian world today, they would see that the house of Yahweh would bring glory to these people and honor by turning them to work like Yahweh in righteousness and run their governments and their cities according to Yahweh's laws. They would see that. And that is exactly why mankind was created. Well, here now, Yeshua, he says, so upon you, this organization, this 666 organization that you're part of, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who come down to Jerusalem with a very strong army that they had built in Babylon and in Rome, come into Jerusalem. They had it totally taken over, all 12 tribes, except for those who worked undercover and worshiped in secret, as Yahshua said. Thousands of them worshiped Yahshua in secret. He fed 5,000, 7,000. They disappeared. They took knowledge with them, but they wasn't part of the chosen work at that time. They took this knowledge and they spread it. Well, Rome couldn't do anything. The army couldn't do anything. They were growing. The word was passing. So they had to wipe them out. That was their next choice, they thought. They still didn't wipe them out. They're still trying. Germany, 6 million of them. And that's only a drop in the bucket to what they kill. Well, Yeshua said in his time period right here, get this, understand this, so that upon you may come all the blood from all the righteous blood shed upon the whole earth, this system of the gods, the house of the gods, the churches of the gods. Call it the Lord if you want to. It's the same thing. You're being led by Satan and you're evil like the gods. If you weren't evil like the gods, you would not be forming these planes, B-51s, and oh, here it is. You wouldn't be forming these planes here that can carry these big nuclear bombs to other nations and kill them. Do you know they got the same thing in the other nations, and they're bragging about it? And they're saying, there ain't no way the United States can slip through this. No way they can detect us. We got submarines right now just offshore. Loaded with these things. When this war comes, there's no way that this thing is going to protect you. It's not going to protect sinners at all. They won't leave you neither root nor branch. Malachi 4, 1 through 4. The only thing that's going to protect you is you remember the law of Moshe. That's the fourth verse. Remember the law of Moshe. That's what brought you out of Egypt. That's what made Pharaohs, the gods of Egypt, the Coptic Catholic religion, release you. Well, here he says, now, this group of people here in 33 AY, and he said, all the blood from righteous Abel, clear down to now, is going to be on your heads. Because of the system, your evil system that you're teaching. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the porch and the altar, all the way back to Abel, this system. O Jerusalem, 36, truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. What was he talking about? The generation when the temple was destroyed? Or the generation that he mentioned in the very next chapter? That generation will not pass away until the bombs are developed that can darken the sun and burn the earth. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets and stone those who are sent. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you deserted. You brought the Lord of heaven in. History says you drove out Yahweh's people along with Yahweh himself. That's written in history. This is a Savior that died for the wickedness you brought forth. For I say unto you, from this moment you will not see me. Now look at what he's saying here. He's speaking of you, brethren. You will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now you and your translators of the King James Version, you gullibly took what they put out. There's no excuse for that anymore. Everybody, every dictionary knows that the name Yahweh and Yahshua were replaced. They were replaced with Lord. Lord is dead rabbis. Yahshua was speaking to the rabbis here. He was speaking to the rabbis when he said this right here. In these verses, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians were rabbis. When a loving rabbi died, they hung a sign on him like the Pope today. They deified him. They said, and then they told the public, you can pray to this dead man now. Boy, what sense that makes. Ecclesiastes says the dead know not anything. And here all, you got the whole world praying to demons, to gods, and dead rabbis. I'm giving you the facts. There's nothing hidden in the house of Yahweh. We bring it out loud and clear. Well, you're not going to see me anymore. And the name right there is Yahweh. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. The name right there is Yahweh. And until you say blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Only those who submit. If you hold your place right there, look over to Genesis 49, verse 1 says, now in the last days. Now remember that, last days. Yeshua used it. In the last days, the bomb that can destroy the heaven and the earth. The bombs that can burn the earth in an hour, darken the sun. And Genesis 49 tells you, in the last days, Yeshua says, you're not going to see me anymore until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name Yahweh. Why weren't they saying that to the people then? They had laws passed that carried a death penalty for using the name Yahweh. Now that's your gods that you're following. That's your gods that you're worshiping out there in the world today. Evil like the gods, you're saying, you changed this, took his name out of the Holy Scriptures, the name Yahweh, and replaced it with your dead rabbis, dead popes. How much sense does that make to you out there? Well, look, the last days, Genesis 49:1. I'll tell you what's going to take place in the last days. The days of the nuclear bomb that can darken the sun and burn the earth in an hour. Look on down to verse 9. The scepter will not depart from Yada. Yada sits on the seven hills of Rome today. She was in Jerusalem at that time. Upon your head, the righteous blood of Abel, clear down till this time period, is on your head because you gave in to Satan. You're carrying Satan's message to the world. Well, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor the ruling staff. They're the ones creating the bombs. It's their word going out to do so, to depopulate the earth. All the nations are complying with their schemes to build bigger weapons or buy bigger weapons. From between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs. Well, he's not coming until you say, blessed is the one that comes in the name Yahweh. And you did away with Yahweh. You did away with Yeshua, and you changed the prophets who carried the name Yahweh. Whom tribute belongs until he comes to whom tribute belongs, and the obedience of the nations. What is left of the obedience of the nations is shown to you in Isaiah 24:6. A few men left. Yeshua said in chapter 7, talking about the trees, the two trees, the one evil like the gods and the one righteous. Life gives life. He says that first tree of evil is going to destroy itself. For I say unto you from this moment, you will not see me until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name Yahweh. That's 39. Yahshua was speaking to the whole system when he said this and said, he said, their blood is going to be on your head. You've got all of this you've got to pay for. Let's look back chapter 23. That was written in 33 AY. Look back to Yeremiah now, and remember what he said. I won't come anymore. You won't see me anymore until you say, blessed is the one that comes in the name Yahweh, and I'm going to prove he said Yahweh, and it was in book 2. I'll prove that to you. If you'll just listen, watch closely, I'll prove it to you in your own Bible. Well, Yeremiah 23 now. Yeremiah 23. You know the word was taken out, removed. All the authorities say, yes, it shouldn't have been done. They should have retained the name Yahweh. It shouldn't have been replaced with the name Lord. Lord's not even a sacred title at all. It's a title of dead rabbis. Now here in chapter 23, which of Yeremiah, which was written 600 years earlier than Yahshua, 599 B.Y. Look at verse 10. And this is the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians right here that Yeremiah was speaking to. Look at verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers. Those of adulterers. Because of this curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are gone. Their conduct is evil. That reminds me of this article. Where did I have it? Know the signs of super gonorrhea. This ought to dry up a few of their pleasant places. Listen to this. This is really dangerous. Gonorrhea is one of the easiest STDs to pass from person to person. You can do it through saliva, or you can do it in sweat and many other ways. Well, now they got a super gonorrhea fixing to dry up some more pleasant places. This is what he's saying here in Yeremiah. These are pleasant places where they went to be evil like the gods. Super gonorrhea is start of drug-resistant STD boom. This morning's doctor warns. Well, it's quite a long article. Maybe we'll read it or bring it on the news. They gave a pretty great talk showing how fast this is spreading. It could spread throughout the earth in a matter of a year, throughout the whole earth. And you could shake hands with any person next to you and get it. That's the pleasant places. It's where this thing was created. The pleasant places, which includes every bedroom, automobile, and so forth today. That's today's evil world in the days of Hollywood teachers, Hollywood gods, the stars of Hollywood. Okay, verse 10. Let's read it again. You'll get more out of it now. For the land is full of adulterers. Because of this curse, the land being full of adulterers is a curse. The land is worse today. This is the worst time in the period of man's history. Worst time ever in the history of mankind. Because of this curse of the land being full of adulterers, fornicators have been added to that. bestiality and sodomy came along with it, and all of them glued together now has formed a super gonorrhea that's carrying all of this stuff that's stronger than any of the STDs before. And the land is full of adulterers, and because of that curse, the land mourns, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, you've ruined them, yeah, Yahweh got run out of them too. Their conduct is what? What is that? Where did we see that? Genesis what? Genesis 3:5. You're right. I heard it all through the sanctuary. Evil. Their conduct is evil like the gods. They worship the gods. And the God says, do these pleasant things. Well, their pleasant places are drying up. All over the world, causing death. All over the world. And oh my, I gotta go to the doctors, and the doctors are supposed to heal me. You know, Yahweh set the age of mankind. Did you know that? Did you ever read that, you preachers out there? Do you even know how long that he said you could live? Why haven't your doctors and scientists changed that? Think about it. They can't help you and help you about like a bomb can. They can take your money before you die. For both prophet and priest are profane. This is because both prophet and the priest are profane. Yes, even in my own house. They had taken over Yahweh's house. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians had taken over Yahweh's house at that time. In the days of Yeshua, Yeshua was allowed to preach until they found out what he was teaching, and a lot of people started converting and saying, do you know what this man is teaching in the name of Yahweh, and he's healing people in the name of Yahweh? That's when they arrested him. I have found their wickedness, says Yahweh, even in my own house. In verse 13, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. This wasn't in the land of Samaria he's talking about. This is a big mistake. These prophets of Samaria were teaching in Jerusalem, in the temple. They prophesied in who? Who is that? What is that? L-O-R-D? Is that Lord or Dead Rabbi? If you look it up in Unger's Bible Dictionary, it will tell you Lord is the title of dead rabbis. It's not a sacred title. And cause my people Israel to err. Look at verse 14. I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies, just like Hollywood does today. Their pleasant places are drying up too. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers. Evil? Evil? Did you see that word evil like the gods? Genesis 3:5. So that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are as Sodom to me and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. That's Sodomites. That's like Seven Hills of Rome today. Raping babies. Raping grown-ups. They're in the armies too. Lots of rapes going on. People killing themselves so they won't have to put up with it. They have a high suicide rate in the armed forces. Very high. Therefore, this is what Yahweh of hosts says concerning these prophets. Behold, I will feed them with the wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. I'm going to let them do what they want to do. That's exactly what he's doing. He's letting them do. Nothing is withheld from them. They won't be able to come back later and say, well, if you'd have done this and let my people do this, they would have brought peace to the world. No, not so. He's letting them do what they want to do and nothing held back. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. That's exactly what Genesis 49 said in the last days. Genesis 49, I'm going to let this go out everywhere throughout the whole earth. These 12 tribes, 12 evil tribes. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken of them, yet they prophesied. He didn't prophesy of these prophets coming. Their names are not written in the scriptures like the two witnesses are in the last days. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, why won't you read the words of Yahweh to your people out there, all of you preachers? And in Abilene too, why are you afraid of the people turning? You know you're teaching lies? Would that be it? You caused my people to err. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from the evil of Genesis 3:5, evil of the gods. You're worshiping gods. You're worshiping dead rabbis. You're following after Yada, who Yahweh says holds the power and is working for Satan clear up to the end. Verse 26. How long? Now remember the date on this. This date is 599, 600 years before Yahshua. In verse 26, 23 verse 6. How long will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy these lies? How long are you preachers out there going to keep lying and telling your people that Santa Claus comes down the chimney, that the Easter goddess, rabbits lay eggs? How long are you going to, and Halloween, how long are you going to keep telling them that Sunday is the day to worship? That's not one of the Ten Commandments. How long are you going to continue in these lies, Yahweh is saying? How long? Why don't you repent, Acts 3:19, and convert? Yes, they are prophets of the deceit of their own minds, who devise, they scheme, they actually scheme to cause my people to forget my name. They took it out of the scriptures that the prophets wrote and the apostles wrote. Through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, just as their fathers, who were their fathers? The 12 tribes. Genesis 49, clear down to Yahshua's time, 600 years after this. They caused my people to forget my name for Baal, which is Lord. Go over to Acts now, the fourth chapter. We'll end on this one. I'll take up the next time I speak in Acts, the fourth chapter. If you look at verses 1 and 2, you see the priest, the captains of the house of Yahweh. Yes, they've totally taken over the house of Yahweh. This was 33 AY, 33 years after Yahshua's death. You're speaking to the priest, the captains of the house of Yahweh, and the Sadducees came upon them, being indignant that they taught the people and preached the resurrection of the dead through Yahshua. Now they put the I forget what the King James Version, but they took out the name Yahshua there. I think they put the word Jesus. And Jesus, when was the J invented? Webster's dictionaries used to say, yeah, they took it out of the new ones. It used to show you when the J was invented in the 1600s. It was invented to go in the King James Version. I'm not running down the King James Version. Any form of the scriptures is, I'll study them, and I can show you the lies in the translator's work. Not in the scriptures, but in the translator's work. But notice, they couldn't preach in the name of Yahshua. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who Yahshua said is guilty of the blood of Abel, are the ones he's speaking of right here, that moved in 70 A.Y., took the temple to Rome, moved it to Rome, called the Sistine Chapel right now. The Pope sits in it. They took all the artifacts to Rome. Look up General Titus. If you don't believe me, just read the history. They took it all to Rome along with the work of the prophets, the work of Yahweh's 12 disciples. They took it all to Rome and hid it for over 1,500 years till Yahweh made them bring it back. And so his house would be using it in this time period. I like that too, son. Let it be. By the way, I got to say something about this before I end. I want to say something about this before I end. This lamplight visual, if you want to call it that, I saw some of the girls and boys that was gathered around the lamplight, and it's a friendly scene, a family scene. And they were having a ball. they were so excited, and it made me think that my days when we were doing the same thing at my house, and we would gather around the lamp of an evening, and mother would not, she'd always had the Bible sitting there on the table. But she always just started a regular conversation. And, of course, everybody was trying to talk. And then all of a sudden she'd say, that reminds me of this so-and-so scripture. And all of a sudden we were talking about the scriptures. And that acquaints the children with it. You might start thinking about buying you a kerosene light and turning the TV off and the lights off, and maybe we could do that during the feast here. Praise y'all. Okay, Acts 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all. Now, he was preaching to these Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. That's the Roman Catholic Church, and today, and they had their Roman army there too. And in fact, Romans, the chief priests ruled the Roman armies. They owned them. Let it be known to you all, Stephen says, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Yahshua, Messiah of Nazareth, whom you nailed on the stake, but whom Yahweh raised from the dead, Yahweh raised from the dead, by him does this man stand here before you healed. Let me see, one more, I think. 4:17. That was 10. Look at 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. That's the name Yahshua that they were trying to stop them from teaching in that name. Look at verse 17 now. But in order that it may not spread further among the people, let us sternly forbid them. This was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians making their decision. Let us sternly forbid them with threats of death, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they summoned them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name Yahshua Messiah. Well, of course, the Yahshua has already warned his disciples, fear not what man can do to you. And he told his disciples, they're going to deliver you up and they will kill you. And the disciples were willing to go through it because they knew that a kingdom of Yahweh was being formed, and that they would be part of that, and they would be resurrected from the dead. Now, to you, in these last days, Yahweh's work don't finish with the death, as it did with the disciples. Their job was finished. They wrote the information from Yahshua. Remember, in these last days, Yahweh speaks to us through Yahshua, his son. That's Hebrews 1:1 and 2. So, in the last days, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, Yahshua's high priest over the house of Yahweh, Yahweh is speaking to us through this book too, showing us the end, the resurrection, and that we will not all die. We all have a work to do in these last days. Those who reverence Yahweh's name will go out leaping like calves from the stall. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.